Going to start with a particular question as we begin the homily today, and I'll kind of speak into it throughout the homily. The question is, what is the source of your joy and your light? What is the source of your joy and your light? Now, you might be thinking, well, Father Will, that's pretty easy. Of course, it's Jesus. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God. Yeah, you're right. Good job. Probably what you would expect here at church. But is it really true for you? Is your source of your joy that you experience throughout the day and your light to others, is it Jesus Christ in Him crucified? Now, I think it's good to recognize that there's a lot of ways that we can experience joy in the world, right? Joys that come from having a day off in the middle of the week, like Wednesday, right? Maybe joys that we can experience from making an A on exam, as exams approach here in the next few weeks, right? Maybe joy that comes from graduating, joy that comes from getting a job. Or I know some of you are applying for interns, right? The joy that comes from getting an intern. Joys that come from hanging out with friends. Maybe joys from hearing God's call, the vocation that He's leading you to, and accepting that vocation. Maybe the joys that come from just maybe a great meal or a good game. The joy that comes from a fighting Texas Aggie win, basketball game last night, so pretty good. Father Andrew had the chance to go to the game. He came home last night. He's like, hey, how was the game? Oh, it was good. It's kind of boring. I said, boring? What do you mean? We won. He goes, yeah, but I like it when it's close. And I can kind of cheer and, you know, get into the game. He said, I just kind of sat there and cheered. You know, we did yells and everything, which was fun, but it's like, oh, okay. I'd much rather my blood pressure not go up. So I thought it was a great win last night. You know, we can also place, you know, also joys in a lot of different things, right? We can place our joys in the hopes of things happening in the future. Also, too, the light world that we live in, there is plenty of light, right? Very blessed. It was awesome for the sun to come back out after the cloudy days for 2 or 3 days. Great in Texas, of course, as we know, over the summer, there was a lot of sun. Very easy in our world today just to flick on a couple of switches and the lights come on. So there is light that kind of chases away the darkness. There also is fire, right? Whether it's on candles or a fire that you might have burning outside. So there is opportunities for plenty of sources of light, maybe plenty of sources of joy as well in our world. But in some sense, that's also the joy and light that everyone else in the world also experiences. But for us as Christians, what sets us apart? Hopefully others will see that there is a different source of our joy. Maybe there is a different source of our light that takes away the darkness or our fear or our doubt in our world, right? And hopefully that is Jesus Christ in Him crucified. So maybe just like to talk through maybe three particular areas or three particular points. Maybe for you, if Jesus Christ and Him crucified is not the source or a complete source of your joy, your light in your world, maybe we can kind of look at three particular areas. So the first is, how do you see Jesus? Is Jesus the Son of God? I think sometimes we can see misconceive Jesus or see Him maybe sometimes as this of the idea of a president or a ruler, maybe a dictator, maybe the principal or a CEO of a company. Maybe this idea that maybe we know Him, but maybe we know Him. Maybe sometimes we have this idea that Jesus is kind of like this guru or counselor or one who is filled with wisdom and one who can kind of give us what we need in particular times in our life. But maybe we don't see Him set apart, maybe as a God, as a creator, as a savior. I know you probably have heard Father Chris, Father Andrew, myself say this many times, but for Jesus and Jesus crucified to truly be our source of our joy and light, we really have to see Him as a father. We really have to see Him as one who cares for us, one who provides, one who protects, one who knows us intimately, Maybe you might not recognize or believe that God knows everything about you, but God truly knows everything, right? We hear even that he knows the number of hairs on our head. Do we believe this, right? Do we believe that God truly is our Father? Do we believe that God loves us completely as a Father? That God wants to walk with us and be attentive to all the things in our life? That he wants to pick us up when we fall? Just as a father watches a newborn child try to walk. When the child falls, the dad goes, picks him up, and helps him to start again as his legs grow strong. Our Father wants to, when we fail, when we sin, he wants to come. He wants to pick us up. He wants to help us to try again, to live in his love and his care. And this usually means that if we see Jesus Christ and him crucified, if we see him as our Father, that means that we have to let go of protecting ourselves. We have to let go of maybe caring for ourselves. We have to let go of trying to love ourselves, right? And to let the Lord be the one who cares for us, loves us, protects us. And again, in some sense, helps us also to be at peace with the person he has created, right? So if we truly see Jesus Christ as our Father, God as our Father, him crucified, then he will become the source of our joy, the source of our light. Number two is, as we hear that first reading, Jesus Christ and him crucified will be our joy and light in how we care and serve for others, right? It's very interesting. If you go back maybe this week and read that small little piece from Isaiah, pretty awesome. It says that if you care for someone else, if you give someone a piece of clothing, if you give someone some of your food, if you give them something to drink, if you notice something that they don't have, if you help them, if they trip and you pick them up, if they drop a book and you pick it up for them, if whatever it is, small little gestures, if we go outside of ourselves, it's amazing how quickly Isaiah kind of almost says that everything will be given to you. Your action will be a light because it's different maybe than everyone else's action. Maybe it's different than how everyone else sees the world or how they're supposed to treat others, right? So if we seek to treat others as Jesus Christ treats them, if we seek to help others who are in need and desire to serve them, if we seek to say hello to them, if we seek to notice them, which is really powerful these days, especially with the number of people who are struggling with suicidal thoughts and suicide, if we just seek to notice the people around us, and say hello to them, help them in maybe small ways that they might need it, how much we become a light maybe in their life and the light of others around us. And how then Jesus Christ becomes the source of our joy, right, when we help others. He becomes the source of our light when we notice other people around us and seek to treat them as our brothers and sisters, right? And maybe the third area, to allow Jesus Christ to be our light, to be the source of our joy in our life, is how do we encounter the Eucharist? So, of course, I think we all know the Eucharist. I hope you all know that the Eucharist is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that the Eucharist that we receive at Mass is body and blood, soul and divinity. God is truly present to us. Maybe there are still some doubts in your own heart. Maybe there is still some misunderstanding of how this happens or how this takes place, or could this really be real? Do we truly believe that Jesus Christ enters into this simple bread and becomes food to feed us? Again, he really does become the source of our joy and happiness as we come to Mass specifically to receive him in this intimate and this real way. So just something to think about is, if the Eucharist is to make sense to you, you really have to recognize or believe that someone else cares and loves you so much that they want to provide food for you. And they give it of themselves. For the Eucharist to make sense, we have to recognize that God cares so much about us and loves us so much that he gives his son. He allows his son to be crucified, and not just crucified, but allows him to be crucified, and then that sacrifice to be eaten by us. Each time we come to Mass, we are entering into the one sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the one sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb And we don't just hear about this and think about this and meditate upon it, but we actually confirm it as we come in the communion line and we eat this host, which is has become the body of Jesus Christ. He loves us so much, he cares about us so much, that he wants to be food for us. And if we truly believe this, if we come to believe this and meditate upon this, how can it not be the source of our joy and excitement that our God loves us, that he feeds us, that he cares for us, that he sent his only son to die on a cross, Jesus Christ crucified? Pretty sure we can spend tons of time throughout our life and our world to find many different things that will bring us joy and peace, many things that we can check off the bucket list, many different things and encounters, awesome landscapes, countries, continents, pictures, artwork, churches, amazing architecture that we can see that will bring us joy. But it is a fleeting joy, right? It is a joy of this world. So my hope is that you will come to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, that God will be your father, and you allow him to be your father, that you will seek to serve and notice how you can care for others around you, and that you can also continue to deepen your belief in the Eucharist, and that this is what drives you and brings you to Mass each Sunday, to come and to receive him. And just real quick, just to kind of give a couple of thoughts, usually Father Chris, Father Andrew, I like to do this at the beginning of the semester, is where we just kind of remind you a little bit about the Eucharist and Mass and kind of how to enter into it, especially particularly the Eucharist. So real quick, just encouragement as we kind of the semester starts and you got things are getting busy. Encouragement is to come to Mass maybe a few minutes early, 5 or 10 minutes early. And it really allows one to kind of sit, maybe let go of some of the distractions of the day and just really kind of prepare what's about to happen. I'm going to hear my Father's words. God is going to speak to me. I'm going to be able to eat of his body and his blood. So come to Mass for a few minutes early kind of helps just to prepare us, right? There's also an hour fast. We ask that everyone fast 1 hour before receiving the Eucharist. So 1 hour before you receive communion to not eat or to drink anything except for water. Water is fine, but nothing else besides that. Kind of recognizing and allowing and preparing myself to, again, eat of this food that God gives to us, his son, Jesus Christ. I think it's also important as well to kind of how we dress, right? Coming to Mass as if it is a special occasion, maybe different than anything else that we come to throughout the week, right? Maybe next week, I want you to come all dripped out, right? Kind of all set up, ready to go, right? And not so much, I learned a new word yesterday. Huh? I'm kind of intrigued to learn more about it, but anyway, not so much to draw any attention to yourself, right? And not necessarily to draw attention or others to see you, but this sense that I want to come and I want to give my best, right? I want to come and I want to give what I have to the Lord, right? And that this is something that I don't necessarily do throughout the rest of the week. This is something that I don't do at other times. And I want to show by kind of what's on the outside what is also taking place on the inside, right? I'm desiring to encounter my Creator, my God, who loves me. It's also, too, in Mass, as you come up in the communion line, of just as you draw closer as the person before you is receiving, you know, just doing a simple bow, kind of recognizing the reverence, seeing the body of Christ that you're about to receive, the blood of Christ that you're about to receive. The fullness of Jesus Christ is it both in the body and both in the blood, so you don't have to receive both, but you're more than welcome to receive both. The fullness resides both in the body as well as in the blood. Invite you to then go back to your seats and maybe take a few minutes of just quiet prayer and meditation in the song. If you bring a friend who is not Catholic, it's great to let them know that they can either stay in the pews and meditate and pray as everyone else comes up for communion. If you invite them to come up with you in the communion line, just let them know that they can place their arms over their chest and receive a blessing as they come forth before the priest or the minister. And then, too, finally, Mass ends, we sing our closing song, and just encourage you maybe to stay 1 or 2 minutes, just real quick, after the final song is over, and just take a couple of minutes to say thank you in gratitude for what God has given to you, thanking him that he may be your source of light and joy at each moment of every day.
thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.